So imagine checking your weather app before you head out the door. But instead of seeing a little rain cloud or, a bright sun icon, your phone just displays this massive mathematical error code.
Right, like an actual system crash.
Exactly. It is essentially telling you that the temperature outside isn't just unseasonably cold for a Tuesday. It's telling you that the weather is physically violating the logic of the universe.
Which is such a wild concept, because normally when we look at a forecast, there is this really ingrained expectation of, well, simple cause and effect.
Right. A cold front moves in, the barometric pressure drops, the temperature falls. We treat the weather as this purely functional meteorological event.
Yeah, we treat it as something to prepare for. Like, do I need a coat? Should I cover the tomatoes in the garden? The entire paradigm of modern meteorology is built around smoothing out all that messy data to give you a functional answer.
But today, we're throwing that functional paradigm completely out the window. What if we didn't look at the weather as a meteorological event, but as a dynamic mathematical paradox?
I love this framing. What if a sudden change in temperature was actually a literal breakdown in the rules that govern reality?
Right. And when you shift your perspective to look at it that way, you aren't just measuring rain or wind anymore. You're measuring the stability of a system.
You're hunting for that exact millisecond when the underlying math just panics because it cannot reconcile what is happening in the physical world.
And that hunt is our entire mission for this deep dive today. The source materials we're pulling from are built around this really fascinating data set. It's 2.5 years of continuous daily temperature readings from Hässleholm, Sweden.
Yes, and we are analyzing this data through a highly specialized computational framework called ParadoxLang, which is it's an incredibly sophisticated way to process environmental data.
Because it treats the local weather as a living ODE, right? An ordinary differential equation.
Exactly. And without getting too bogged down in the calculus, an ODE is basically used to model the continuous rate of change in a dynamic system.
So think of it as a mathematical expectation of flow.
Yes. It expects the temperature to move from one state to another with a certain level of, logical continuity.
So we are going to explore how this ODE framework identifies extreme temperature anomalies, those specific moments that just completely shatter normal seasonal patterns.
And we'll trace the connection between those observed temperature jumps and what the system called chaotic transient states.
Yeah, eventually we're going to take you on a chronological journey, literally day by day, through the autumn of 2025 in Hässleholm. We'll watch this beautifully calm pattern just dissolve into sudden chaotic deviations.
But to really grasp the gravity of the data we're looking at, you have to look at the scope. I mean, we have roughly 900 continuous days of readings.
Right.
And out of that entire 2.5 year span, there are exactly 12 days when the system fundamentally
It's
breaks.
just 12 days.
Yeah, just 12 days where the mathematical entropy spikes more than 3 standard deviations from the norm, and the predictive algorithms just collapse into sheer panic.
Wow. But before we can really appreciate how a system breaks, we need to establish what normal actually looks like to this algorithm.
Right. How does a computer program define a normal Tuesday in Sweden?
Exactly. And it all comes down to a concept in the source material called the conditional collapse theory, or CCT.
So the CCT framework essentially splits the weather into two distinct streams of data. You have the stationary component and the probability component.
Okay, so the stationary component is the overarching baseline, right?
Yeah, it represents the smooth, predictable annual cycle. The algorithm calculates this as a 30-day moving average. It basically wants to see a gentle rolling sine wave charting the course of the calendar year.
And then the probability component is the daily noise. It's the friction of reality, like
Yep.
the random afternoon shower or a day that is inexplicably windier than the day before.
Exactly. A healthy dynamic system expects that friction. It knows that the daily probability will bounce around, but it expects those bounces to tightly hug that smooth stationary baseline.
It makes me think of an ECG machine trying to lock onto a patient's heartbeat.
Oh, that's a really good analogy.
Right, because the stationary cycle is the baseline rhythm the machine has learned to expect based on the patient's history.
And the probability is the natural minor variation in the beats.
Yeah, like maybe you shift in your hospital bed and your heart rate picks up for a second. The machine registers the noise, but it still easily recognizes the underlying rhythm.
Right.
But an extreme anomaly, that is when the ECG machine suddenly detects a rhythm that defies the physical structure of the heart. It doesn't just see a fast heartbeat, it sees data that suggests the heart is pumping backwards.
And that mechanical struggle to process impossible data is exactly what we mean when we talk about entropy in this system.
Okay, so how does paradox Lang define entropy?
In paradox Lang, entropy is basically a measure of the uncertainty of tomorrow's temperature. So when those daily deviations tear too far away from the baseline, entropy skyrockets. The algorithm just loses its predictive foothold.
So the algorithm is sitting there watching the entropy rise, and it has to figure out if this is just a weird afternoon or a fundamental breakdown of the system.
Exactly. And to do that, it uses something called a question lattice.
And the source text notes this is formulated as a traveling salesperson problem, which I assume that means the system is mapping a route, like a salesperson finding the shortest physical driving route to hit all their targets. But here, it's mapping the shortest mathematical route to an answer.
You've hit the nail on the head. The algorithm has six highly specific questions it can ask the data to try and reduce that entropy. It's trying to force the uncertainty to collapse into a confident prediction.
But computing power is a finite resource.
Right. It can't just blast the data with every complex question at once.
Yeah.
It has to calculate the optimal path based on a specific ratio, which is delta over W.
Okay, let's make sure we don't leave anyone behind on the math here. Delta usually means change, right? And W would be the weight.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Delta represents the collapse potential, like how much uncertainty or entropy is removed by asking the question.
And W is the weight or the compute cost of running that specific calculation.
Yeah. So the system is constantly hunting for the highest delta for the lowest W. It wants the maximum reduction in uncertainty for the absolute cheapest computational price.
So it starts with the cheap stuff. Like question one just asks, is today's temperature within two standard deviations of the seasonal average?
Which requires almost zero computing power. If the answer is yes, the entropy collapses instantly. The algorithm breathes a sigh of relief and moves on.
And question four is also cheap, right? Is the current day part of a recognized annual cycle?
Right. But when the data comes back irregular, the algorithm is forced to spend more compute power. It has to move down the lattice to the heavier questions.
So if the cheap questions are just checking the current temperature against a long-term average, I imagine the more expensive questions have to start analyzing the momentum of the weather. Like, is it actively getting colder and how fast?
That deduction leads straight into the mid-tier questions.
Yeah.
Question two asks if the temperature has changed by more than 10 degrees Celsius since yesterday.
That's a huge swing.
It is. And question three analyzes the momentum you just mentioned. Do the last 7 days follow a monotonic trend? Meaning, is the temperature consistently moving in one direction, either up or down, without oscillating?
And if those answers are throwing errors, it brings in the maximum weight questions, like question five looks for contradictions between this month's average and the previous month's trend.
And question six, the most expensive calculation of all, analyzes whether the exact pattern repeats after 365 days.
It's just a brilliant, elegant sequence of logic. But, you know, the whole reason we're looking at this data is because sometimes the weather in Hesselholm flat out refuses to answer these questions logically.
Which brings us to the concept of chaotic transience. Because when we move from the theoretical lattice to the actual field data, we start to see how these seasonal patterns physically shatter.
Yeah, I want to look closely at one of these shattering events, specifically from June 6, 2024. The data shows a high of 15.4 degrees Celsius.
Which is quite chilly for a summer day in Sweden.
Right. But if you're listening to this, you might be thinking, so what? It's just a bad beach day. Why does a multi-layered computational matrix flag a chilly June afternoon as a literal paradox?
Because the algorithm does not view a 15.4 degree day in a vacuum. It views it as a vector. It's entirely about the trajectory that led to that moment.
Okay, walk us through that.
So if we look at the days leading up to June 6, the system had comfortably settled into what dynamic systems theory calls an attractor. The summer warmth is the attractor. It's the state the weather naturally wants to gravitate toward.
Right, because on June 1st, the temperature hit a very warm 25.4 degrees. The trajectory was climbing.
Exactly. The system had locked onto the summer momentum. And not just the immediate days prior. The average for the entire preceding month of May was around 16 degrees.
So the stationary baseline is expecting the data to stay well above that 16-degree floor as it moves deeper into June.
Yes. But then, on June 6, the temperature suddenly plummets to 15.4. It drops below the average of the month that preceded it.
So when the system runs question 5, is there a contradiction between this month's average and the previous month's trend? The math just stops. It creates what the text calls a local paradox.
Mathematically, a local paradox means the probability trajectory has been violently forced out of its expected attractor.
Wow.
Yeah, the system hasn't just registered a cold day. It has temporarily lost its mathematical anchor to the current season. This is the very definition of a chaotic transient.
The normal rules of the summer attractor are suspended, and the system is just in free fall until it can find a new baseline.
Precisely.
That is fascinating. The weather effectively forgets what season it's in. But if that is just a local paradox, we really have to look at the event on February 16th, 2024. The source material labels this specific day as a firewall breach.
Yeah. If June 6th was the system briefly losing its anchor, February 16th was the system hitting a concrete wall at full speed.
Because the historical average for February in Hesselholm sits around minus 1 degree Celsius. But on this particular day, the high spiked to 10.8 degrees.
But again, if we're thinking about momentum, we have to look at the setup.
Right. On February 14th, it was 4.9 degrees. On February 15th, it was 4.8. And then in a matter of hours, it rockets to 10.8 on the 16th.
This is where the question lattice completely fails to collapse the entropy. Question 1 fails because it is wildly outside the standard deviation. Question 2 fails because the delta from the previous day is massive.
But the catastrophic failure happens at question 4, right? Is this part of an annual cycle?
Yes. The algorithm looks at the sheer vertical jump in the data and concludes that this is not a graceful transition of warming air. It identifies a sudden phase jump.
Because the conditional collapse theory relies on a gradient, right? Like, it expects cold air to gradually mix with warm air.
Exactly. But the data from February 16 behaves as though there is a physical firewall preventing that mixing. The temperature doesn't transition, it teleports.
The normal sine wave is just severed.
Yeah. The algorithmic output for this day is simply uncollapsible.
So, because the system survived that February firewall breach, it goes into the autumn of 2025 with an updated, highly sensitive baseline.
Right.
And to truly understand how a dynamic system transitions from a calm state into a chaotic transient, we have to trace the chronological data from September through December of that year.
The autumn of 2025 is the perfect case study. Because if you just look at September and October on a graph, the system appears remarkably stable.
September performs exactly to the mathematical expectation. Highs sit comfortably in the low 20s, and as the weeks pass, they smoothly ease down into the mid-teens.
And October maintains this perfect behavior, oscillating with incredibly predictable variance between 9 and 15 degrees.
If you're looking at this data alongside us, you would think the system was perfectly healthy. I mean, the entropy during this 8-week stretch is negligible.
The algorithm is just firing off its cheap questions, getting expected answers, and collapsing the uncertainty into flawless daily predictions.
But from a systemic perspective, that prolonged low entropy is actually masking the underlying structural stress.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like walking out onto a frozen lake in late November. You look down and the ice appears thick, clear, and totally uniform. You feel entirely secure walking on it. That is your low entropy state.
I love that analogy.
Right. But what you can't see are the acoustic stresses and shifting currents putting immense pressure on the underside of that ice. The mathematical surface looks solid, but it's primed for a catastrophic microfracture.
And we can see exactly when that microfracture occurs. As we move into early November, the system is still coasting on that false security. On November 6th, the data registers a strangely warm high of 14.8 degrees Celsius.
Now, the system notes the warmth, but it doesn't immediately output an error, does it?
No, it attempts to simply stretch the autumn attractor, trying to gracefully accommodate this lingering mild weather.
But the ice is already cracking under the algorithm's feet because the tension that has been quietly building since September is about to snap in this huge high entropy crash.
The plunge is breathtakingly fast. On November 13th, the temperature is still holding at a mild 12.5 degrees. But within just 8 days, by November 21st, the bottom completely falls out of the data.
The high plummets to minus 1.3 degrees, and the low hits a bitter minus 8.6 degrees.
You can almost visualize the paradox Lang lattice lighting up like a switchboard in a crisis. Question 2 is triggering massive alerts because the daily drops are so erratic.
And question 3 is throwing severe entropy warnings because the gradient of the drop is far too steep.
The stationary model is literally screaming that this descent is mathematically impossible for a natural phase transition.
We really need to specifically analyze the entropy levels surrounding this temperature drop from late November into December. Because normally, when a dynamic system experiences a severe shock like this, minus 8.6 degree freeze, it spends a few days recalibrating, right?
Yeah, and then it tries to find a new equilibrium. It accepts that winter has arrived and settles into the cold attractor. But in Heselholm, the system violently rejects the new baseline.
It bounces. By early December, instead of stabilizing in the freeze, the temperature aggressively rebounds. On December 10th, it shoots all the way back up to 10.6 degrees Celsius.
And this specific volatility is what creates the most profound mathematical breakdown in the entire dataset.
Because the algorithm just registered a brutal deep freeze, and suddenly it's trying to process a mild, warm December.
Exactly. The probability trajectory is swinging so wildly across the baseline that the system can no longer establish a meaningful 30-day moving average.
Which sets the stage for what the source material officially calls the grandfather paradox of winter 2025.
Right.
Because after that bizarrely warm spike on December 10th, the weather drops off an absolute cliff. By January 6th, the high is minus 4.5, and by mid-February, the low bottoms out at an incredibly harsh minus 17.8 degrees.
To understand why this is a paradox, we have to look at how the math handles memory. We talked about how the 30-day moving average relies on the mathematical weight of the days preceding it to predict the future.
The CCT framework requires a smooth gradient so that the weight of the past slowly hands off to the reality of the present.
Right. But because December rebounded to such an unnatural warmth,
yeah,
and January plunged so violently into a deep freeze, that gradient is completely destroyed.
So how does the algorithm process that kind of sheer cliff face? Like, how does it resolve the grandfather paradox?
It creates an information paradox. The transition from the warm December into the minus 17.8 degree February is so inconceivably sharp that the mathematical weight of those warm December days effectively drops to zero in the calculation.
Wow.
Yeah, because the drop was so sheer, the algorithm's predictive model is forced to sever the mathematical link between the 2 months. It jumps self-consistently into the brutal cold regime, treating the warm December as if it literally never existed.
Wait, so the algorithm essentially erases its own memory of the warmth because acknowledging it would break the core logic of the system?
Precisely. If it gives weight to the warm December, it cannot mathematically justify the deep freeze of January. So to survive, the math forces a conditional collapse.
And what is the mechanism behind a conditional collapse?
It is a forced permanent update to the stationary baseline. When semantic entropy reaches an uncollapsible state, the system just stops trying to force the chaotic data to fit the smooth sine wave. It concedes that the old annual cycle is dead.
By executing a conditional collapse, it writes a new chaotic reality into its foundation.
Yes. In practical terms, this is the algorithmic equivalent of a machine realizing that structural climate change has permanently altered the physics of the local environment. It learns through paradox.
Let's take a step back and look at the sheer scale of the journey we have just charted. We started by looking at the weather not as a forecast, but as a living mathematical equation.
Right.
We explore how paradox Lang uses a complex lattice of compute-weighted questions to hunt for the exact moments when the predictable sine wave of the seasons fractures.
We analyzed how those fractures physically manifest. We saw the trajectory of a summer day derail into a chaotic transient, and we watched the February firewall breach force the math into an uncollapsible state.
And then we took that chronological walk across the frozen lake of autumn 2025. We watched the deceptively low entropy of September and October mask the building's structural stress.
We tracked the violent plunge in November, the contradictory rebound in December, and the ultimate phase jump into a brutal January deep freeze. The one that literally forced the algorithm to erase its own mathematical memory.
The local climate rewrote its own rules, and the mathematical model was forced to evolve just to survive the calculation.
It's such a profound way to view the natural world. But, you know, there's one final concept buried at the end of the source material that completely reframes everything we've just discussed.
Okay, what is it?
It takes the idea of these high-entropy data failures and, well, it compares them to black holes.
Wait, what? You have to explain how Swedish weather paradoxes connect to astrophysics.
I know, it sounds crazy. But in theoretical physics, black holes aren't entirely black. As they consume and destroy matter, they emit a faint theoretical glow called Hawking radiation. It is the universe's way of releasing the information that the black hole processes.
Mm-hmm.
The text suggests an analogy. What if the climate system is acting in a similar way?
How so?
If our global climate is undergoing massive underlying structural shifts, it generates friction. The theory posits that these uncollapsible high-entropy extreme weather days, these exact paradoxes we've been tracking, might be the climate's version of Hawking radiation.
Oh, wow. They are the universe emitting raw data about the collapse of the old system.
Exactly. They aren't just random freak storms. They are dense bursts of systemic information radiating out from a permanent structural shift.
That fundamentally changes how you experience a strange weather day. It forces you to realize that tomorrow's completely irrational temperature swing isn't just a glitch in your weather app or a broken forecast.
Right. It means every paradox is just an undiscovered rule.
What if it is a literal message, a burst of Hawking radiation from a changing planet that our current mathematical models just haven't learned how to decode yet? What an incredibly heavy, awe-inspiring thought to end on.
Yeah, it really is.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the source material. It is so easy to take the daily rhythms of the world for granted, you know, to just grab an umbrella and not think about the vast dynamic equations swirling around us. Keep an eye on the sky, stay deeply curious, and try to spot the paradoxes hiding in plain sight. Because the next time you look at the forecast and the numbers seem to defy logic, you might not just be looking at a bad beach day. You might be looking straight into the chaotic mathematics of a world that is rewriting its own reality.